associating Christmas with the birth of Jesus, and by all means, I don't have a problem with that on an individual basis, but the New Testament church does not have authority to associate any particular day with the birth of Jesus. And the reason for that is God did not tell us when he was born. Now, it's more than likely that it was not in the month of December because the shepherds were out at night keeping watch over their flocks. And all you got to do is Google Bethlehem. Google Bethlehem, the temperature in December at night, and you will see that the shepherds were not out at night keeping watch over their flocks. They had those flocks locked up. They had those flocks in a shelter because it is so cold at night over there that time of year. It's more than likely that this was sometime in the spring. I heard another theory I've never heard in my life before, Damar, that Jesus was born and died on the same day. And I'd never heard that before, and of course it's legend and it's theory, like the dogwood flower and so many other things, like the rocks I talked about this morning cracking all over the world at the time of his death. I don't know if you've heard that legend or not as well, but I challenge the church this morning, try to find a rock that does not have a crack in it. I challenge you, because you won't find it. But supposedly, according to the legend, when Jesus died, and the darkness was on the land, and the great earthquake, that according to the legend, that it cracked every rock on the planet. Interesting. Just a thought to throw out there. But still, Jesus was born at some point. And while people are thinking about the birth of Jesus at this time of year, at this season, it seems appropriate to talk about it. And so we're going to do that. But I'm not so much focusing on his birth as I am tonight talking about seeking Jesus. And the songs sang tonight refer to a specific event related to the birth of Jesus regarding men who were seeking him. And you know who I'm talking about, don't you? The wise men who came from the east. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, let us read together. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. I find that interesting. I've overlooked that all my life. And all Jerusalem with him were troubled. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And that indeed is the prophecy. So when Herod he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, this would introduce, if we continue reading, it will introduce one of the most horribly bloody, vile, despicable acts in the history of humanity, as Herod killed every male child in Bethlehem 2 years old and younger in an effort to kill this child that would be a king that would replace him or his bloodline. And he wasn't going to tolerate that. It didn't matter to him that prophecy might be being fulfilled in his ears. It did not matter to him anything about this. It didn't matter to him about the integrity and the honesty of these wise men. And by the way, have you not noticed that good people tend to be a bit more trusting, a bit more naive, a bit more susceptible to the wiles and the scheming of wicked men? And Herod indeed was wicked and was scheming. His intent was to kill this child, and if these wise men had come back to him, they would have told him where the child was. He would have gone there and tried to kill him. I don't think he would have succeeded myself. I think that the angels of God somehow would have been right there to protect. God would have stretched his hand out, and Herod would have, well, died from worms or something else. He would have stopped him cold. No, 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 this is not going to happen. This was not according to God's plan. And, of course, we know that Joseph was warned of an angel to take the child, and they took him to Egypt, and there he lived until Herod died. But these wise men were seeking Jesus. They came from the east to seek Jesus. In our trip up there in Kentucky yesterday, this place up there is big on Christmas, big on religion, big on Christianity. But I never saw more nativity scenes in my life than I did at Patty's 1880 settlement yesterday. That was amazing. All the nativity scenes, all possible arrangements, but in every nativity scene I saw, there were shepherds with sheep, and there were three wise men with gifts gathered around the manger. Now, is that accurate? There's some problems with this. Let's look at what the Bible actually says about that. Now, what Matthew doesn't tell us, it does tell us that the wise men were from the east. It doesn't tell us what country they were from. Some think they were from Persia. Some think they may have been from India. Some think that they may have been astrologers or astronomy studiers of the stars from Babylon. Who knows where they were from? How many were there? We don't know. We three kings of Orient are. You know how I sing that song? We the kings of Orient are. See, that makes it work, doesn't it? We don't know if there were three kings. Why do we think there were three kings? Because there were three gifts mentioned. That's why people conclude that. But this is stuff that the Bible is not telling us. No number is given. Only three gifts are mentioned. And, of course, what about the star? Was it an actual star? Some think maybe it was the planet Jupiter, which was often associated with the birth of kings. Jupiter moves through our field of vision, moves across the night sky. Mars does, Venus does. You can see these planets. And on a very clear night, you can actually even see Saturn at times, although you cannot see the rings with the naked eye. You have to have a telescope. But so you can see planets moving across the night sky. And they're moving across the sky. They're not just stationary in the same spot. Not moving like satellites. Now, they didn't have orbiting satellites back then, okay? We know that. Was this a comet? Some theorize that it may have been a comet. Was it simply a miracle of God? I tend to go with that one. That it was simply a miracle of God because the star moved to the place where Jesus was and shined and stood over that spot where Jesus was. I don't know what kind of a scientific explanation could be given, and I don't think one is necessarily required. Do you? So how were these wise men connected with the star and with the birth of the King of the Jews? Had they been taught by the Jews to expect the Messiah? Perhaps. Had they been given a special revelation from God? And this is a very significant point because God did reveal to them not to go back to Herod. God did reveal to these men something directly. So it's not unreasonable to conclude that God is the one who told them about the Messiah and showed them where he was going to be. So let's talk about the legends themselves. The legend has it that their names were Melchior, Balthazar, and Caspar, not the friendly ghost. Melchior, and I'm not saying his name right, and I can't help that, is said to be an older, gray-haired man with a long beard, and he's the one that they believe brought the gold. Then Caspar was young, beardless, kind of ruddy in countenance like David was, and it's said that he brought the gift of frankincense. And then Balthazar was dark-complected, and it's said that he brought the gift of myrrh, which was a very expensive spice. In fact, all three of these gifts were very costly, something that Joseph and Mary would never have been able to afford for themselves. The fact that they visited the baby, with the shepherds that night is a legend. It is not accurate. It is some time after. Why would they kill the babies 2 years old and younger? Why go all the way up to age two? Because this didn't happen the same night he was born. It was later. How much later, we don't exactly know. But it is sometime later. Furthermore, they did not visit the child in the stable. He was not in the manger when the wise men came. He was in a house. So evidently, Bethlehem, by the way, was pretty crowded, wasn't it, the night Jesus got there? Why? Well, they had this census going, and I mean, you know, they have, in my travels, and Demar, I'm sure you've had the same dilemma in your travels. There have been places you've gone to a place you needed a place to stay overnight, and there was a tennis tournament in town, or there was some, you know, horse buggy race in town, and every hotel room was full. And where are you going to stay? You ever stayed in a stable? I hadn't either. But that's where Jesus got started. But as the rush died down, a place was available for them to live. And that's what happened. They moved in there. They stayed there for some time. In fact, they were still in Bethlehem when Joseph was warned in that dream, take the child and the mother and go to Egypt now. And that's exactly what they did. Now, there are some lessons that are to be learned here. The Bible says that they had come to worship Jesus. And when they found the baby in the house, they fell to the ground and they worshiped him. And they gave him their gifts and they praised God. Now, what kind of faith did these men have? Obviously, they're not Jews. That much is obvious. But the patriarchal age was still going, was it not? And God still dealt with the heads of households throughout the world of those who would submit to him, just like he did with the patriarchs that we read about in Genesis. The chosen people, Israel, were set apart from the rest of the world, and the law of Moses was given only to them. The patriarchal age continued throughout the age of the law of Moses for the rest of the world. And the children of Israel had a specific law that was given to them that does not and never did and never would apply to us, because we would have fallen under the patriarchal age had we lived in the time of Christ. And so, let's talk about what we learned from this. Number one, it's easy for fiction to be taken as fact. It's easy for legend to become the stuff of reality. When we hear something over and over and over and over, it's easy to get the details a bit foggy and fail to be able to distinguish legend from truth or fact. So we need to do a careful study of the birth of Jesus and all the things related to that, all the things surrounding that. You know, as far as the number of the wise men, we have no idea. As far as Jesus, them visiting Jesus in the stable, that obviously didn't happen. What about making the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden a what? An apple? Come on. An apple? But that's what people have done. And depicting the baptism of Jesus in the Bible by John reaching down into the River Jordan and just dripping some water across the head of Jesus and calling that a baptism. People have done these things. They've made legend to become reality, or they've made their perceptions to become reality, and such is indeed not the case. We need to be like the Bereans and carefully examine the facts. Listen to what we're told, but then carefully examine the facts to make sure that they are correct. That's the first lesson that we need to learn, is listen and then check it out. Second, there may be true servants of God in places where we might not expect to find them. Henry and I are leaving for the Philippines, God willing, toward the end of February, after Paulette is able to get around a little bit better after following her knee replacement. And we're headed over there to meet with folks who have never, to our knowledge, met with members of the New Testament church. They don't know any American Christians or had not met any American Christians. They've had no contact with what we would call the Church of Christ as we know it. And yet they have studied the Bible. They have read material that has been sent to them through our website, through Correspondence Course, through the Muscle and the Shovel book, and many other things that have been sent to them. They've read this material. They've studied the Bible. They've seen the truth. They have obeyed God's word. And they are our brethren. And we've never met them. And to our knowledge, none of our folks have ever met them. Isn't that amazing? And I'm telling you, I have run across so many folks in India through the years that it's like, where were they? They had no contact with anyone. Our people go into a village and there they are. It is a New Testament church meeting there. They had no outside influence whatsoever from America. See, sometimes we get the wrong notion that unless Americans are involved in it, it's not going to work. It's not right. That's just not true. In fact, often the opposite is true. When the Americans get involved, things often get messed up. But we need to recognize that God has servants all over the place that we may not know anything about. The Lord may have hidden ones, hidden to our knowledge, but not hidden from God, like these wise men were. I want you to think in terms of Melchizedek. Here's Melchizedek coming out of nowhere, and he's a priest of God. You know, that's a classic example. And Christ is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, like he was a high priest. So we need to recognize that we don't know everything. There are faithful Christians in other countries, and we may not know about them, but who does know about them? God knows about them. And though they may be unknown to us, we can still pray for them. Number three, it's not always those who have the most religious privilege that give Christ the most honor. What do you mean by that? You would have thought that the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests would have been the first one to go to Bethlehem after they heard about the birth of Jesus. They didn't go. They did not go and seek the child. They did not go and worship him. They did not even try. They heard the Savior was born, and they just chose not to believe it because there's no way he's going to be born in lowly Bethlehem in a manger of all things. That's not going to happen. And yet unknown strangers from a distant land heard of him and came a great distance to see him. And as John wrote, he came to his own, but his own received him not. John 1, verse 11. And unfortunately, many situations are true today that fall in the same category. How many people do we know of that were raised in the church that did not take it seriously? That were their families were godly Christian people, but their children did not take it seriously, did not follow in the path, and basically just were Christian in name. And these are the ones that you will meet when you say, what are you? And you'll say, I'm Church of Christ. These are the same ones that will make statements like that instead of simply saying, I'm a Christian. And yet we find that people who were out in the world without hope, without God in the world, are often the most dedicated Christians you will ever find anywhere. And that is unfortunately the case so many times, and that was the case right here in the case of these wise men versus the Jewish leaders of that day. Another point is, there may be knowledge in the head, but there may not be grace in the heart. The chief priests were quick to provide Herod with the location of the baby, but they didn't go to Bethlehem. They did not come to believe in him. We may have knowledge in our head, things that we know. But the grace in our heart is that's what we do about it. I was telling Henry yesterday, one of the problems that I have is I know better than I do. You ever have that problem? I know better than what I do. I don't always follow the knowledge that I have in my head with what I have in my heart. And that is a weakness that we all share, I'm afraid. We need to really focus on that and work on that. Another point I'll make, and we're almost wrapping this up, the wise men are a great example of diligence in the spiritual world. I want you to think about what it costs them to travel in money, in time, in danger. Now, you can get in your car and you can get on the interstate and you can go just about anywhere in this country you want to go. And when you get near it, you may have to get off on a two-lane road, but it's not full of potholes and there's not thieves around every rock waiting to rob you. You know, I mean, we have a very safe place to travel in this country. But it wasn't like that back then. There were no interstates. There was no highway anywhere. They had to travel in uncertain ways, in uncertain places, and dealing with people as they went, some of which might have been thieves and robbers who would have taken advantage of them. We need God's protection. They certainly did then, and they had it. We need it today. But you think of what effort they made to find Jesus. They sought him diligently. What about our diligence? Are we willing to pay the price to find Jesus, to serve him, to worship him, to live for him, to die for him? It's worth considering. And the final point I'll make tonight is the wise men are a great example of faith. They believed in Jesus. This is a baby. There has been no exhibition of power that they have seen. They saw the star. What did the shepherds see? They saw angels. They saw the heavenly host glorifying God. They heard the singing. And then they came and they saw the place where the baby was laid and they fell down and worshiped him. These shepherds had seen the glory of God by this heavenly host. What had these wise men seen? They hadn't seen. They'd seen the star. And it may have been a miracle, and it may have been an astrological event. Astronomical event. I don't know. I said astrological. No. Astronomical. Okay, you got to get the right word there. But they didn't have the miracles to convince them. And yet, without any hesitation, when they found the baby, they fell down and worshiped him. They believed in him. This is the kind of faith that God delights to honor. And he did honor their faith. And I read this passage about what Jesus said to Thomas in John 20:29. Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So, may the faith and the diligence, the commitment of these wise men inspire us. Challenge us to be more faithful to our Lord, to give him greater service. May they do that. And though the world around us may seem careless and unconcerned, they focus on the gifts that they get at Christmas. They focus on the pretty decorations and the nice, the jolly, jolly Christmas music. That's the emphasis. And though the world around us may have no interest in church, no interest in the Bible, no interest in religious things or religious people. Though they may remain careless and unbelieving, let us not be ashamed to believe in Jesus and to confess him. No, we're not going to put on the signboard out there, Jesus, the reason for the season. I saw a sign the other night while I was traveling up here off of 99. I saw a sign on a board out there. It says, Jesus was born so we could be born again. Well, that sounds so nice. And it is true that he was born as part of God's plan, but ultimately that's not what let us be born again. It was because he died that we're able to be born again. Not because he was born. If he was born and then went back to heaven, that would have done nothing for us. It would have accomplished nothing for us. If he had lived his life on this earth as a man and been sinless for 33 years and then just decided, I'm going home, and he went back to heaven, we would have been no better off. But because he went to the cross and died for us, now we have the right to be born again, the blessing to be able to be born again. Now we have much more reason now to believe in Jesus and to worship him because of the miracles that he did, because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead, because of his teachings, and because of the sacrifice of his blood. We have so much more to believe in, to trust in, so much more to understand. Are we willing to make the effort to find Jesus, to seek him, find him, to worship him, to serve this great king? The bumper sticker is still very popular. You'll see it on cars everywhere. Wise men seek Jesus. And to this day, wise men still seek Jesus. Seek him with all your heart, and you will find him. Trust in him, follow him, commit your life to him, and he will save you. If you're not a Christian, what better time than right now to obey God? And if you're already one of his people, but you've allowed sin to come back into your life and into your heart, you need to repent and rededicate your life to him tonight while you've got a chance. We encourage you, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, to come as together we stand and sing.